You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
Hey, welcome to another edition of This Was Your Car. Our first contestant is Ann Stripgear. Ann, remember the sound?
Yes, that sound. Make it stop. I can't stand it.
Well, this is what Perfection Auto Works has done for you.
That's my car? I can't believe it.
Now we have Betsy Beamer. We understand you gave up driving because your exhaust sounded like this.
Oh.
Yes.
Not to worry, Perfection Auto Works has transformed your car to sound like this.
I love Perfection Auto Works.
And now we have Peter Fickenberger. Peter, listen to this sound.
Stop it, man. I hate that sound. Stop it.
Look what Perfection Auto Works has done to your car.
I love Perfection Auto Works, man.
You can be the next contestant on This Was Your Car by calling 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Your radio commercial puts you front and center in the listener's attention span.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Ackerly Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Stir emotion, create demand, and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
The John C. Scott Show is paid for by the John C. Scott Company, LLC. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum, the most talked to, talked about, and listened to political talk show weekends in all of Arizona. Thanks for making that possible. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Great guest today, Ed Ackerly, independent candidate for mayor of Tucson. You're talking about, well, these are the midterms. It's not the time for the mayor to be elected this year. No, but it's a year away, and people are building campaigns at this moment to become mayor of Tucson. Rahina Romero, the current mayor, announced on the Buckmaster Show on this radio station that she's running again. So she started a campaign early, and so has Ed Ackerly, who is my guest. He's an independent candidate for mayor, professor at the University of Arizona, one of the smartest people I know, and one of the most qualified candidates for mayor of Tucson ever. And then we'll talk with Victoria Steele, former president of NOW, the National Organization of Women, and she is now a state senator and candidate for Justice of the Peace in Southern Arizona. She will talk about Roe versus Wade and the Supreme Court ruling. And Michael Bryan will be with us, spokesperson for the Democrats of Greater Tucson. A very busy show. Let's get to it. Here's Ed Ackerly. Hi, Ed. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, John.
Thanks so much for being here. You know, I was just telling you I'm paying for gas at $5.50 a gallon, also for the buses eventually here. We're going to keep, I guess, paying for other people to ride the bus. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It doesn't make any sense to you.
Well, as a business person, obviously, you can't offer a product for free to people very long and sustain the economic model that would create. That means that somebody else is paying for it. Right now, COVID money is paying for the free SunTran rides, and maybe understandable during the first part of the pandemic, but hopefully this doesn't result in January 1st, 2023, the council saying that we're going to keep free bus fares, then who's going to pay for the buses? What's that budget look like when the COVID money goes away?
Well, they're going to get it from someplace. Well, maybe us.
We're looking at each other.
Yeah exactly.
It's probably us.
Tim Steller is the well-known columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Some say the conscience of Tucson. He's even wrote a column talking about how liberal this council is and how concerned they are about social issues and perhaps less concerned about, can I get a cop if I need one? And can I walk across the street without getting hit? And maybe I'll get shot because the murder rate's higher than it's ever been in decades. This council does not seem to be as concerned about these basic city issues and responsibilities as they are with the other social issues that have dominated this council for years, right, and does to this day.
Yeah, I would like to direct them back to this Tucson City Charter. I know that off-year elections, and there's lots of things that the same group will say, well, we're a charter city, therefore we don't have to do what the state says, or we don't have to. But the charter specifically spells out what the responsibilities are for the mayor and council. And, you know, it starts with the number one thing, which is public safety. And that seems to be a big problem right now. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of attention being
paid. Is there any improvement in the numbers of police officers to help us be more safe?
Well, the new police chief, I do like the new police chief, and we're hoping to meet with him soon. And he has done one thing, which I think is extremely positive. He's brought back two of the four motorcycle teams that were on ice because of staffing issues, but he's brought those two back, and I think that's great because, you know, with the influx of texting while driving and driving under the influence, Speedway has its proper name right now, because I drive down Speedway to the university, and there are literally people going 80 miles an hour on Speedway.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm surprised we don't have more accidents and more people stepping off the curb and being plowed over by cars. And you know, that's just a symptom of what is wrong. We don't have enough police officers to take care of the things that are basic to a community like ours. And the very first thing that we need to look at is safety. And obviously speed and driving under the influence is something that needs to be taken care of. We don't have enough people to do that.
You know, I was thinking about my career, and longevity has its place. And I have seen the waves of people supporting the councils. And we're talking about the city councils of Tucson, and they have gone from very liberal to some very pro-business councils as well. I see another wave coming of people who are in the business community that pay for the government, having enough of where we're going with this council and under the leadership of Rahina Romero. I think people have had it.
Well, I think the last time that I ran in 2019, in that cycle, I was caught a little bit of a wave because there was an initiative to make Tucson a sanctuary city. And I, of course, was opposed to that. And eventually the rest of the leaders in Tucson came out opposed to that. And that initiative did not pass. But I think at the time there was a groundswell of business people who said there is no way that we could do that and survive. I think after the COVID issues of shutting down businesses and the lack of staffing and so forth that many businesses are faced with now as a result of the COVID situation, you know, we have to get back to the basics. And the basics are, you know, jump-starting the economic engine that makes the whole government run. You know, we're a sales tax-driven organization as a city, where other cities might be property tax or get their money from different places. We rely heavily on sales tax. Well, the obvious thing is there. We got to do something about jumpstarting economic activity in Tucson.
You know, we talked so much for almost a decade about conventions and tourism, and of course, the COVID-19 almost shut all that effort down. Even though the many hotels is what you call them, and I'm not talking about MANY might be more appropriate. These smaller hotels, boutique hotels, have added to the numbers of rooms that could accommodate the convention business that we all want. Have we done enough to be ready for when people start meeting again?
I don't think so. Of course, my background over the last 50 years has been advertising and marketing. And I think that with all due respect to the folks that visit Tucson and some of the initiatives that we have, I think we need to do a much better job of marketing Tucson in the United States, but also other places to get people come back. You know, I have obviously friends who are in the business, and they are noting that there's obviously with the international travel situation over the last couple of years has been difficult, But I think Tucson is set to be able to start bringing back that. But we can't do it if the streets are dirty. We can't do it if the medians are full of homeless. And we can't do it if there's no safety and no police officers on duty to help keep the place safe. So we've got to put first things first. We've got to focus on public safety and cleaning up our city, while at the same time building a marketing plan to try and get some people to come. You know, you mentioned Buckmaster. He's big on getting people over to New Mexico, et cetera. We should be advertising all around us, and in Chicago and Denver and some of the key cities. We should be advertising and getting those people to think about coming to Tucson, especially in the peak winter times when it's beautiful here.
Is it not illegal to have an individual on a median strip asking for dollars?
Well, you know,
didn't we pass an ordinance saying you can't do that because it's unsafe?
Yeah, you know, at one point there used to be, when I was a little kid, there was a newspaper hawker on every corner, and they they passed that law that says you cannot be on the median. And you go up to Scottsdale, and they have a similar law that says no one can be on the medians, and there is nobody on the medians. They even have signs that say. Yeah, but they also do something interesting in Scottsdale and other places, which I think we need to take a look at. And that is, I am not against helping people. That's not the point here. The point is that Scottsdale enforces the municipal law that says you're not allowed to give somebody who's standing on a median, a dollar or sandwich or whatever, because then you get cited, because they don't want people standing on the medians because it's a safety issue. And I've been to Scottsdale lately. See anybody on the medians? There's nobody there because they enforce their laws.
So ordinance?
We do have an ordinance.
And we don't enforce it.
We don't enforce it. Now, it's for the medians. It's not for the corners. So a lot of the homeless folks are on the corners. I happened to be at Speedway in Craycroft not too long ago, and this is how we enforce it. There was a bike cop that came up behind us, and he got in his megaphone and said, get off the median. So they immediately scurry from the median to the four corners of the intersection. So they're still there. They're just not in the median. But, you know, first things first, this is a safety issue as much as anything. And these people that are living, to all my friends who are talking about social services and so forth, I think it's unconscionable that the city of Tucson allows people to live on the medians and in bridges, under bridges and under arroyos, in 115 degree weather, and calling that humane treatment. We've got to do something better than what we're trying.
You know, Primavera was very helpful along the way. They don't seem to be as active as they were before.
Right.
And there are organizations that are trying to get these people to jobs and work. My feeling is, and we've done some research into this with people that I know that are very much involved in this, is saying that a lot of these people don't want to work. Right. I mean, they can stand on a median strip and make $100 a day, and I'm not joking about that.
Right.
If you get a dollar from one car, 10 cars, and you're there for 10 hours, and you're managing to get 10 cars an hour, which isn't a hell of a lot when you have 100 an hour going by you, you don't necessarily want to go work for somebody else.
Right.
Because you're an independent entrepreneur yourself. And it just seems to me that there are very wonderful people, Humberto Lopez and his organization, to take that hotel on Tankerville and turn it into a homeless mecca, really, for not only rehabilitation, but for habitation as well. It's a wonderful thing. And there are people that are willing to help him do that. But we don't have a direction for this city to go to solve the homeless problem. You would think with all the studies and all the crap this council accumulates with studies, and there's got to be a million of them, we'd have one that's saying, here's what you do about the homeless problem.
Right. I did see one of the council people come forward and suggesting that we build some safe haven camps for them. So at least they're starting to talk about it. But and certainly when someone came into town from the federal government that was a higher up, they went and cleaned up a couple places where this official might be driving by. So they did clean up some places when there was a visit from out of town. But that shouldn't be the rarity. We should have a plan in place to how to address this problem, and we should be aggressively going after it. And they'll cite a lot of information to you and tell you that what they are trying to do things. But we've got a $2.1 billion budget in 2023, I would think that a portion of that could be used to handle this problem.
Ed Ackerley is a candidate for mayor of Tucson as an independent. We're going to take a break and come back in just a moment. We do recall, however, a time when George Miller was mayor, we were feeding the homeless at City Hall.
Yes, we were.
And there would be people gathered on the front steps. inebriated and passed out, and you'd have to step over them in order to pay your water bill.
Yeah.
Or maybe even talk about coming to Tucson to do business.
Right.
And it was the dumbest goddamn thing I've ever heard of. It was so stupid, you can't even talk about it without laughing. And it wasn't funny. But anyway, we'll come back.
Okay.
Ed Ackley's my guest. Back in a moment. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Most of Legislative District 9 and Legislative District 10 are now Legislative District 18. Two longtime lawmakers have retired from the district. To fill the vacancy, Nancy Gutierrez has stepped in to run for the House seat. Nancy Gutierrez is one of the most qualified candidates to run for the legislature from Southern Arizona. Nancy is a school teacher, a mother, a fighter of women's rights and sensible gun legislation. Nancy is an advocate for public education. I'm John C. Scott. I ask you to vote for Nancy Gutierrez for the State House of Representatives. Nancy will be a lawmaker we can be proud of. Nancy Gutierrez is the right person at the right time to serve Southern Arizona. This message is paid for by Nancy for AZ. Go to her website for more information. That's nancyforaz.com.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
With a cost-effective campaign, you can reach your customer over and over.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Accurately Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Create demand and grow your business with radio.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Together, they've brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guigny's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guigny's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out.
Did you know that a majority of Arizonans support more funding for public education, affordable health care, and jobs that pay well? This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson, and that's what we stand for. Activate yourself by Googling Democrats of Greater Tucson and clicking on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Ed Ackerley is my guest. He's an independent candidate for mayor. We've got about 5 more minutes. You're going to run for mayor. You've already said that. You already have announced. And
today's
the paperwork.
Today's a big day, John.
It's an anniversary,
a backwards anniversary.
Yeah.
There are exactly 500 days left between now and election reporting day.
500 days.
500 days. And we, you know, obviously the way the ballots work now, there's about a 30-day window where people can vote early. But, you know, I have my work cut out for me over the next 470 days to get my message out there.
All right. What will you do differently as you were not successful the last time you ran as an independent? And, of course, Raheena Romero, it has to be said, there's an asterisk by her name as mayor because she raised $1 million of outside dark money from the unions that her husband's benefactor, her husband's boss, Raul Grijalva, that helped her raise, even though he lied to me and said he didn't help. Said, no, Raul, you're lying. You just, it's okay. I mean, politicians are supposed to lie, but you're lying to me. Well, anyway.
What am I going to do? Well,
I digress.
I think, yes, you do. But I think what is interesting this time is, you know, when I ran last time, I had decent name recognition in the city, but no one knew me as a politician. Nobody knew me as a leader. And that campaign was a good campaign. We came in with just shy of 40%. The current occupant holder got 52%. I am amazed, honestly, John. I realize it's 500 days away, but I'm amazed at the number of people that have come up to me, called me, or engaged me and said, we got to do something different, and you're our guy. So I'm really looking forward to it. We got a great team. We have about 30 people on our immediate team and about 60 on our more expanded team, and they are raring to go, and we're going to make this happen.
So you've learned from the last campaign.
Big time.
Yeah.
Es muy importante porque hay muchas personas aquí en Tucson que necesitan.
And you learned to speak Spanish.
I did.
That's
and
a smart move.
I'm doing much better at it. Yeah. And I knew how to speak Spanish before, but I've been taking lessons and practicing because I think it's a part of who I am.
So. 90 seconds. Why do you want this job, this mayor's job of Tucson?
The first time I ran, I wanted it because I wanted to make the place better for my grandkids. This time I'm running for it because I'm dissatisfied with what is going on. We allowed it to get to this point, and we allowed the public safety to deteriorate. We allowed the homeless situation to grow. We've 93 murders last year is unacceptable. It's living in Tucson is not like it was when I was a kid or when I was a young married guy. And I just think we need to get to a better place. And I think I'm the guy that can do that.
Well, you know, and I think, too, that the business community has to have a stronger voice.
Right.
And I understand there's a Chamber of Commerce and there's other business groups and all the way around. And they play their role and they do what they can. But they seem to be beholden to the government rather than directing
right.
the government. And
right.
That's not the best situation.
We need to be an outside voice as business people to say this is what we need in order to be successful, to be profitable, to be marketable. And I think that the city leaders need to listen to that because it's the economic engine that makes everything work. And all the social programs that need funding, guess where that money comes from? It comes from sales taxes, and that is from economic development.
First mayoral campaign I followed was in 1967, or 68, could have been one of the two. Jim Corbett was running against a guy by the name of Southard. He was a State Farm insurance agent, Jim Southard,
Jim
I believe
Southard,
his name.
Yeah.
And Jim Southard had a phrase that he was using in his campaign. He said, "We're a big city now, let's act like one." 50 years later, we can still use that.
I think we can because we need great leadership is what we need, and we need a vision for the future that's going to take us in that direction. And I'm the guy trained all my life for this in leadership, and I'm the guy that wants to do this. I don't need the money, I don't need the fame, I don't need the fortune, but I do need a great place to live, and I want to be that guy to make that happen.
Well, we need you, and I've supported you in your other campaign for mayor. I support you now, and I hope I can be joined by a great many others.
Thank you so
make
much,
you
John.
The mayor of the city of Tucson. Ed Ackerley, my guest. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott.
This is Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works. I think advertising ought to be stunning and get your attention with sound effects, car chases, gunfire, explosions, intersecting plot lines, multiple ideas, and what's that all got to do with Perfection Auto Works? Well, nothing really. In fact, it's kind of quiet here, absent the ratchet or our ringing phone. We do the planned maintenance on your car, such as brakes, hoses, tires, alignment, air conditioning, and all other things automotive. Just like our jam-packed radio commercials, our auto service gives you 100% satisfaction. From brakes, belts, and even our free 26-point inspection, call today, 323-8650, and perfectionautoworks.com, 323-8650.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Most of Legislative District 9 and Legislative District 10 are now Legislative District 18. Two longtime lawmakers have retired from the district. To fill the vacancy, Nancy Gutierrez has stepped in to run for the House seat. Nancy Gutierrez is one of the most qualified candidates to run for the legislature from Southern Arizona. Nancy is a school teacher, a mother, a fighter of women's rights and sensible gun legislation. Nancy is an advocate for public education. I'm John C. Scott. I ask you to vote for Nancy Gutierrez for the State House of Representatives. Nancy will be a lawmaker we can be proud of. Nancy Gutierrez is the right person at the right time to serve Southern Arizona. This message is paid for by Nancy for AZ. Go to her website for more information. That's nancyforaz.com. Apparently Victoria Steele, scheduled for this half hour to talk about Roe versus Wade, is unavailable. But Michael Bryan has stepped into the void and is the founder of Blog for Arizona, the progressive blog for the entire state of Arizona. As stated by the Washington Post, one of the best blogs in all of the state of Arizona. Here's Michael Bryan. Michael, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, John. Always a pleasure.
Women in the United States have no constitutional rights to terminate pregnancy, so says the U.S. Supreme Court in a ruling Friday, bringing immediate, if not permanent, an end to legal abortion in Arizona. I'm not sure how that will be treated, as there are conflicting laws. The extensive opinion, Justice Alito writing for the majority, said the historic 1973 Roe v. Wade decision was built on the premise there's an inherent right of privacy in the U.S. Constitution that precludes the states from criminalizing the woman's decision to abort a fetus and a medical provider's action to help her. But he said there's no basis for that conclusion. You're a lawyer. What was your thinking on the court ruling, and what now, Michael?
Oh, I have a lot of thoughts, and a lot of that is there's a whole variety of authors that have been posting about this on Blog for Arizona the past couple of days. As you can imagine, we're pretty much wall to wall right now, and everybody is shocked and reeling. I mean, nobody can really tell you for sure what this means for the rights of women and the right of abortion in the future. Here in the state of Arizona, as I understand it, there's an old law from the statehood days in 1912 that pretty much bans all abortions. But as I understand it, that is enjoined from enforcement, and until the federal court lifts that injunction, it cannot be enforced. So the ban that might go into effect, if it is not itself enjoined with court action, is a law passed this session by this legislature, this gang of Republicans who decide that they know better than women, who want to, and essentially bans abortion for any reason other than to save the life of the mother after 15 weeks, much like some of the other state laws that we've seen passing recently in the shadow of Dobbs.
So now what? Is there any recourse whatsoever? There will be, and I hate to say this term or even mention this term, sanctuary states like Illinois and others where there will be abortions provided, and in fact even transportation for women to get to these states. Well, is there going to be isolated islands of abortion providers among the 50 states?
Absolutely. I mean, that's sort of what the Supreme Court said is... you know, that it's back to the states now. Essentially, your state gets to decide how much freedom and autonomy you have as a woman in America now. And given the state of many state governments, maybe the control of many state governments based on extremely gerrymandered maps that are not representative of the views of the majority in those states, and the Supreme Court a couple months ago pretty much abandoning the ability of courts to review that gerrymandering and overturn that gerrymandering, you know, they have locked in minorities who are controlling these state legislatures and dictating to the majority from a minority point of view. More than 60% of Americans think Roe is the right position, that abortion ought to be legal, safe, and available. And that is a widely held belief. It is only a very small majority who believes that abortion ought to be restricted in all cases, all times, for all reasons, maybe 10%. And so this radical minority is trampling over the rights of us all. And the Supreme Court has decided to join in. And basically, for the first time since maybe Plessy versus Ferguson back in the 1800s, actually strip American citizens of a constitutional right they've enjoyed for over 50 years. It's deeply shocking and deeply troubling the direction this court is headed in stripping Americans of their constitutional rights that they have built their lives and their expectations for their family life around. It's utterly disgusting.
Let me go to Matt Louse, who's a caller on our show and a one-time producer, many-time producer of the John C. Scott Show and a great friend. Matt, you're with Michael Bryan, who is the founder of Blog for Arizona. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I'm less concerned about the abortion issue from this decision as to what this signals. This decision has now separated the United States into two different entities. Those that can do and exercise their rights in some states and those that cannot exercise their rights in some states. This is probably the most fundamental act to take us back to a divided country since the Civil War. This is without a doubt the worst decision the Supreme Court have done. It is not. It in no the debate over over abortion was a debate that Roe v. Wade had settled, and the debate had basically been regarding viability of fetus. And that's a debate that was being legally argued and curtailed, and that's where the debate should stay. But what the Supreme Court has done here is created two Americas and divided us amongst different states now, where you could literally have some rights in one state and not the same rights in another. We are now more divided, and I fear for how this looks to the rest of the world too. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Matt. Mike, your response.
Oh yeah, I totally agree with pretty much everything that the caller said, except that, you know, abortion rights aren't of concern. I mean, he's right that this is the thin edge of the wedge. I mean, they're going to go after the rights of privacy in marriage next. They're going to go after gay rights. They're going to go after rights to contraception. They're even going to maybe even go after the right to interracial marriage. I mean, if they're going to intrude into our private personal lives like this, as they have announced with this decision that they're going to, there's no place to reasonably stop. I mean, the opinion of the court here basically said that any substantive due process, which is a fancy legal term, decisions that they've made in the past, which is what Roe is based on, is now open for interpretation. If there's no deeply rooted history of such a right being recognized in the United States, they could well overturn it. And all those rights have only been recognized in the past 50 years. And so they're in the exact same position as the rights under Roe to abortion. And so everybody's vulnerable, and everybody is going to be attacked by these radicals who are trying to overturn what it means to be an American and to be free in this country.
Well, this recalls, of course, the nightmare that we lived in during the 4 years that Donald Trump was president of the United States, and the two Supreme Court justices to the far right created this particular vote, and will continue to, show this vote in many other particular issues, as you clearly point out, that will take away what is God's given rights, at least we believe them to be an American. And I mean, we're going to pay a price for Donald Trump for many, many generations to come. I truly believe that. And this
and
is
the
one
court
of
is going to pay a price. The court is going to pay a huge price to their credibility. When a 5-4 court decides to strip half of Americans of a deeply held constitutional right that has a 50-year tradition in this country with a snap of their fingers and a wave of their poison pen, it completely destroys the credibility of the court, especially given that two of those votes were stolen from Democratic presidents by Mitch McConnell.
Well, it seems to me that we're in a lot of trouble. I don't know where this is going. There is a web of conflicting laws, as was stated by the folks with Planned Parenthood, as they describe where we are in Arizona. And they are not sure whether patients will know their rights, what they are, what they are not. And, of course, the organization's president and CEO, Brittany Fortenroy, said that for the moment, she said Planned Parenthood will not perform abortions, even in the cases of saving the life of the mother, even though that is allowed under the pre-73 Arizona law, and the one that's not been enforced since Roe.
Yeah, abortion has effectively been ended in the United States by this decision. The legal uncertainty is just too great for doctors to take the chance. I mean, here in Arizona, the penalties are draconian for doctors doing abortions. You know, they're facing felony criminal charges, with 3 to 5 years in prison, plus the likely prospect that they would lose their state licensing and not be able to practice their profession.
Michael, I know you're coming back to talk about the Democrats of Greater Tucson, and I want you to do that. I'm either going to put you on hold or you can come right back with us for that next segment. Victoria Steele, who is scheduled in this hour, a former president now, state senator, may have some insights into what this legislature has done and may do in the future, or what certainly Planned Parenthood's going to do. So let me leave you, and I'll come back with you, Michael, if you don't mind. Thanks for your contribution. It's been great. Thank you. Let's go to State Senator Victoria Steele. Victoria, thank you so much for being with us. You talked to me yesterday and said you were mad as hell. Are you still mad?
Well, I'm glad it's over. And I'm sorry that I was not able to answer your phone I've been driving back, and I've been trying to call you. I knew that you tried to call me, but I just could not make the connection as I was driving.
Thank you.
So, anyway.
So what now for Arizonans?
Well, now what I am proud of, there's a lot in that budget that I'm not happy about, but actually we got a budget that is more bipartisan than it's been since Janet Napolitano was governor. So we got some major gains for that we wanted, that the Democrats wanted. And one of those things that I'm really proud to say that we were able to accomplish was the water plan, the WIFA, the Water Infrastructure Finance Plan. And so we have that, and it's a $1 billion program. It's a financing unit, and it's not really so much policy as it is financing how we can get more sources of water into Arizona and how we pay for those. We put $1 billion in it. It's not necessarily going to be enough, probably not nearly enough, but it's a whole lot more than we've done in a long time. I'm really glad that we came together to address this. This is the most important issue for Arizona right now.
Victoria,
we were able to do it.
Very quickly, we're just about out of time here, and I apologize, of course.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right. I'm glad to talk with you for the brief moments that I have with you. What about Roe versus Wade? What are people going to do? You are president of NOW. You've had this issue in the front of your agenda from the moment you ever entered politics, winning, losing, and winning and winning again. Now, what do you say to people who say, what the hell do we do now?
Yeah, well, what you don't do is you don't attack the Capitol. That's what happened last night.
Tear gas.
I think we have to realize this is not the end of the battle. Don't give up and say there's no hope, we can't do anything. I mean, what can we do? Right now, honestly, John, I don't know. A lot of greater minds than mine don't know either. And we're all working together. But this is so important because this ruling not only affects abortion, it will also, they are going after same-sex marriage. They're going after interracial marriage. They're going after contraception. So they don't even want you to be able to take birth control. This is a step way too far. The next part of this battle is in the state legislatures.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how Justice Thomas might feel about interracial marriage since he's involved in one. I mean,
right?
Victoria, listen,
exactly.
I'm out of time. I appreciate it.
We'll
reschedule you again. I'm sorry about the inconvenience that we perhaps caused to get you on the air, because I know it was a very busy day for you. But I appreciate you spending as much time as you possibly can with us, and good luck with your efforts. We'll talk about your campaign for justice of the peace and a whole bunch of other things in what has been a storied career in this legislature, and we'll do that at another time. But thanks for being with us today. Good to talk with you, Senator. Thank you.
All right. Good to talk with you, John. Bye-bye.
You bet. Quick break. Michael Bryan will be back to talk about the Democrats of Greater Tucson right after these messages. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Your radio commercial puts you front and center in the listener's attention span.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Ackerley Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Stir emotion, create demand, and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Most of Legislative District 9 and Legislative District 10 are now Legislative District 18.
Two longtime lawmakers have retired from the district. To fill the vacancy, Nancy Gutierrez has stepped in to run for the House seat. Nancy Gutierrez is one of the most qualified candidates to run for the legislature from Southern Arizona. Nancy is a school teacher, a mother, a fighter of women's rights and sensible gun legislation. Nancy is an advocate for public education. I'm John C. Scott. I ask you to vote for Nancy Gutierrez for the State House of Representatives. Nancy will be a lawmaker we can be proud of. Nancy Gutierrez is the right person at the right time to serve Southern Arizona. This message is paid for by Nancy for AZ. Go to her website for more information. That's nancyforaz.com. From the Perfection Network Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. The following is a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson who are responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. Michael Bryan is with us. He is a spokesperson for the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Welcome back, Michael. A little bit about the Democrats of Greater Tucson Monday soiree.
Thank you, John. I'm very proud of my association with the DGT.org. The Democrats of Greater Tucson is a forum for Democratic candidates, so people can learn more about them. We've been around for 50 years, and we're still going strong. We've gone mostly virtual, but we now have three different kinds of programming that we offer the public. And you can find that by Googling the Democrats of Greater Tucson or going to the DGT.org. On Mondays at noon, we have on Zoom presentations from various candidates. In the coming 3 weeks, we have the three candidates who are competing for the nomination for the Democratic Party for LD21 here in Southern Arizona. So there's three different candidates. You can come meet them all. And the greatest thing about it is we have a video library of pretty much every statewide and Southern Arizona competitive race in Arizona. So if you want to learn more about a candidate, if you don't know who those names are on your primary ballot, you can go to the DGT.org, go to our speaker videos, and they're all there. You can get up close and personal with those people in depth about what they want to do and who they are. Our second program is we often now have salons, which is more an informal discussion of the topics of the day. We recently had one with human rights lawyer Diane Post, Arizona Attorney General candidate Chris Mays, who's going to be running in the primary and the general, because she doesn't have a primary opponent at this time, and a doctor, a medical doctor who takes care of women's issues, an OBGYN, giving the perspective of a medical professional about the threats to Roe. This was done just days before the Dobbs decision came down. And again, that's available on YouTube and on our website. If you Google the Democrats of Greater Tucson.com, go to YouTube, you'll find all our videos there. Our third program is an in-person meetup that we do once a month. The next one is on July 20th. We do it at Brother John's Barbecue down on Stone Avenue. And from 4 to 6 p.m. on July 20th, we'd love to see you there. We'll, you know, be able to get up close and personal, but not too close because COVID is still high transmission in Pima County.
You know, the Democrats of Greater Tucson is a remarkable organization. It's gone through some very difficult times, as we all have, during the COVID-19 pandemic that has killed so many and taken so many folks from us that we know personally.
Yeah.
But you've survived. And you are, I think you've come through this terrible time stronger than ever. I've got about 20 seconds just to tell people once again how they join you tomorrow, please.
If you want to, you can. All our programming is always free. Yeah, all our programming is always free. But if you want to help support our mission, you can go to the DGT.org and you can sign up to become a member. It's only $20 a year to help support our work, and we'd really appreciate it. So just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson or go to the DGT.org today and sign up and help us out.
Michael Bryan, you've been great, magnificent. Thank you so much for being with us. Good to talk with you. Thank you again. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, John. So much. Thank you so much.
The preceding presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who are responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. I want to thank Mike Emery, the best auto mechanic in the world. That's true. And I want to thank the people at Perfection Auto Works for providing this studio for our broadcast. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum.
September 1964.
The one and only Beatles!
Like, this is a life-changing moment, man. I mean, the Beatles live in concert.
They sound just like the records, man.
Oh, man, I know exactly what I want to do with my life. Tomorrow I'm going to Marshall's Music Store and buy a guitar.
You can't play guitar.
I'll learn. Now, what about you? You gonna play drums? What?
How did those four dudes get here anyway?
Hey, in that fancy car over there, man, next to the stage.
Well, you know what I was thinking? I want to be the guy that makes sure they get to the next concert. I want to work on cars.
You know, back in the day, everyone wanted to be a musician, but not me. I wanted to fix cars. This is Mike Emery from Perfection Auto Works with a passion for doing your auto and truck repairs correctly. Imagine driving along in your car with the radio tuned and ice-cold air conditioning on, cruising with peace of mind. 323-8650 and PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
Are you tired of yelling at the TV when news about politics comes on? I know I am. This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson. It's time to activate yourself by joining us and helping to elect Democrats. Simply Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and click on Join Now. Don't just sit on the couch. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.